Yeah, I have to emphasize that the word is the major growing point in a Christian's life, in a believer's life. The more we read the word, the more I believe it changes us in the direction we want to go. Because like Peter said, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word. A baby, a natural baby, if he's born and doesn't have much of milk or feeding, is not gonna make it, is not gonna grow. So the same is with us and the word. The more we dwell in the word, the more we grow with it. Anyway, I have to kind of fast forward. We were a small team, two young girls and another guy. Like I was 23, the other girl 22, the other girl 18, and the other boy was 22, I think. But then they were living with their parents, and I realized after a few months that they were not really ready to move to the mission. They were just, for different reasons, they were not even ready. So, in between, a brother came from India. He had a small base in India already, in a relatively small town, but we are talking about millions of people anyway, because India is so huge. So he came because his father passed away, and he came for the funeral. And on the way back, he said, look, we are going back, but we would be happy if I know that you want to move to the mission. If you are ready, you can go with us. So I said to the other team, I'm sorry, guys. My desire is to move to the mission. So I hope you'll be ready soon and you can join us. I'm going to go with him. So I moved to India. That was like just before Christmas 1982. And so I was there for 2.5 years. Then I moved to Pakistan 2 years, 6 months in Bangladesh, and then I moved to Indonesia, where I was 8 years there, and then to Lebanon, altogether 13 years. Now it's a lot of more specific testimonies, but time does not allow us now.
Currently, so that's when you were single.
Yeah, I was single for many years.
And so, sorry, tell us a little bit briefly about your story.
My parents are missionaries, so this is where my mom comes from in North Norway. So that's the great grandmother's home, and my grandparents, they also traveled around. As I said, my parents are missionaries, and when I was about 6 years old, we moved from Scandinavia to the mission field to Thailand. So I don't really have the story of, oh, I didn't know the Lord, and then I got to know him, because ever since I was young, I knew the Lord. And as Christopher said, the word is a very important factor in your spiritual growth, and my parents were pretty faithful to make me memorize scripture and feed me the word since I was young. Of course, not everybody who grew up like that makes the decision to continue in their faith. But for me, Jesus was very important to me, to my life. We were in Thailand, Malaysia, Singapore, Sri Lanka for a few months, and then when I was 17, or almost 17, I moved back to Scandinavia, and then I spent a couple years in Hungary, and I moved back to Scandinavia, and then I moved to Kenya. And I lived in Kenya for 8 years. Was working with a charity, and we were doing free medical camps and witnessing there. There was also an Asian community there that we would witness to. And we used music a lot. If you go to the, yeah, here on the right, that's me. This is actually from Thailand. When I was young, we were doing, this was a picture taken from one time when we were on television. So music is always something important. And as I said, after Kenya, 8 years in Kenya, I had my daughter there. And after that was when I moved to Lebanon. If you just go to the next picture. The one in the middle is my dad. So that's my my heritage.
Wonderful. And that's a pretty, we'll try to keep track with you guys. It's a pretty vast experience, even in childhood. Now, how does this merge together? How did you guys meet? And where do you go from there?
Can I tell
us a little bit?
You can tell.
I came with my daughter in the Beirut airport, and I knew that they were supposed to, I was joining a team there, so I knew there were supposed to be some people picking me up, but I never met them before. So I saw this guy with a big smile, and I thought, that must be part of our part of the team that's come to pick us up. And then I went around on the other side, because, you know, you have to walk past all the people. And then there was another man there. He also had a big smile, but, and I figured he was also part of the team. But I'm like, but where's the other one? I saw another one first, and that was him. So we met in Lebanon.
So for the singles, you look for people with big smiles.
Just to add a little... Helene, our daughter that was Karenina had her before we met, she was like 4 years old when they moved to Lebanon. And after two, three days, one day I was getting ready to go out. So she was starting doing some school with her. We had a little group for their age. As she looked at the door and she said, bye, Daddy. She said, bye, Daddy. Like, that was before we got together.
That's wonderful. Sure, many of us will want to talk to you more. Now, after you guys met, most of the field of your mission, if I can correctly pick you up here, is within the Middle East, in the Muslim environment.
Very much so, even though Lebanon is like a mixture, a part of Western influence and, Middle Eastern influence.
So how did God call you as a family to serve in the mission in the Muslim world? How did you guys, I know it's not easy when you set a family and move to mission. How did you go about that?
Well, I mean, before that, I worked in Pakistan, Bangladesh, in Indonesia, where a large percentage of the population is Muslim population. Now, we are not, like, we are not choosing specifically certain fields, but for example, when we moved to Lebanon, our emphasis was to reach to the Muslims. Like, even though you come across Christians everywhere, they're about 35-40% of the population. Our emphasis was to reach to the Muslim population. So we were, like, we had courses about reaching out to Muslims, we had testimonies and so on. And we would study these materials in order to help us to understand them better. And so we, for a lot of the time, we reach out to the Muslims. And I think Karenina has a little something from Is it this one?
Yeah.
Okay, we'll just share one.
Sorry, it says iftars. I don't know how many of you know what an iftar is. It's during the month of Ramadan, when the Muslims are fasting, at the end of the day, when the sun goes down, they break the fast, and it's their tradition, as much as they can, to make it a big feast and invite the poor and those who don't have as much. So we organized some of those as well. And because Lebanon is so multicultural, they don't mind if a Christian is organizing the iftar, even though an iftar is a Muslim thing. And some of our young people, they, as we said, music is very important. So some of our young people, you see here, they had a show team, and they would use music a lot. This particular iftar was arranged with a restaurant, and you can see they're all dancing in the kitchen. Even the cooks there are having fun watching. But this ministry of music and happy songs and smiles, it made a big difference. And Christopher has a story about one particular reaction we got from some Muslims in South Lebanon.
We had a team, someone that Karenina met. They were a big group of companies, and they were from the south of Lebanon, which is mostly Muslim, except some villages. Their family was sponsoring a school in the south, and we had a program like that. And so we had one of our colleagues who was along accompanying the show team. So after the show, the owner, the sponsor, talked to the director of the school a little bit, and he asked him, what did you think about the show, about the team? And his reply was, looking at them and experiencing this, it's like the spirit of Jesus. So he said it in a very respectful way. And so you have people like that among Muslims, that they are, like a lot of the Muslims have their own, because the Quran says that, for example, Jesus was not crucified, he was taken by God instead. But you have, like I have other testimonies specific about Muslims that they share about believing in Jesus, how is really part of being a Muslim. So, yeah.
We see that most part of our congregation come from Muslim nations.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. One of the largest Muslim countries in the world.
Yes.
What are some of the challenges for you guys as a family in the work?
One big challenge during the, like we were full-time missionaries, and a big challenge is always finding the financial support to continued the work. So that was always something that, because we were teams in difficult fields that had not much of what we call home support, sometimes was what we call home support. For example, Norwegian missionaries will have some sponsors, individual sponsors from Norway, and send them a donation or something. But so at the same time, we had great testimonies of supply for all the, because we were talking about in Indonesia, we were like, we had communities between 40 to 45 people each. So you can imagine the expense that required to keep that the team going. Yeah.
Apart from provision.
Yeah.
And your, most of these nations that you work in, they are red zone in terms of.
Yes. Yes.
Do you have a thought of threat and safety for you guys? How are they?
Well, we, like for example, in India, when I was in India, the first place where we had our mission was a place, Orissas, if we have Indian present there, they know. It's a very traditional Hindu place. And after 3 months there, we got a letter in the post saying, if you don't stop talking about Jesus, we are going to, it's no children, we're going to cut your heads off. So you have situations like that. Or like from Pakistan one time, we were doing a residential complex and we had what we call posters with a nice picture on the front and a text on the back. We would go outreach and pass it out to people. And after I went there the first time, I realized the spirit was quite different, was more traditional. And I said to one of my colleagues, you know, I don't know if this is the best place to keep going with our witnessing. But someone else wanted to go a few times more. So the next time we went, we were stopped. And a man came and said, I'd like to see your passport. I said, are you a policeman? He said, no, but we need to see your passport. I said, I'm sorry, I don't show my passport unless you're a policeman. So finally they said, okay, you leave, and please don't come back. If you come back, we'll kill you. So you have always situations like that. But in the beginning it was, you know, if you're a rookie missionary, you kind of shakes you a little bit. But after a while, you know, it's like you think of Paul, for example, got beaten, got stoned, got this, and so you get used to it.
Well, I just, in living all around the world, you find that if you show love and concern and consideration and respect for people, then you find a lot of openness. If you respect them for who they are, and appreciate their challenges and show that you love them, you receive very good receptions. And this is regardless of whether they're Armenian or Orthodox Muslims, or as this gentleman that Christopher was talking about in South Lebanon. South Lebanon is known for being a very strong Shia community and also Hezbollah supporters, which most people consider a terrorist organization. But when you go with the love of Jesus, your sample can really do a lot. And that's why we did a lot of charity projects. You'll see also later when we move to Cyprus, if you go to the one... Yeah, this one. This was a very inspiring project. We started with promoting volunteerism amongst the young people. And if you see up here in this corner, eventually we were able to have a way to bring together young people from the north and south of Cyprus. If you know, they have conflict, and the north is more Muslim, and the south is Orthodox Greek. And then the last picture shows, or the second, the next picture after this shows the last time we were in Cyprus and participating in another. We've done a lot of projects for children.
That's in Lebanon.
Yes, in Lebanon.
You said Cyprus.
Sorry. And children are very important, not only to the Lord, but also to Muslims. They love children. And they will always participate, and they will help you, and they will sponsor your projects regardless of whether you're Muslim or Christian or what background you come from.
Well, you're not in Lebanon or Cyprus. You're in Norway. And where are you now in this season of your life, Eliza, as family? And,
well, well, we have the challenge in the sense of like, for me personally, I came back a few months after them, and my plan was to stay about a month just to be with the family and head right back. And the month turned into months, and it's been about a year and a half. So I'm very, what do you call that? Yeah, I'm eager to, you know, but at the same time, the last few months, I've been meeting more and more Syrian people, Palestinian, Iraqi people from the refugees. So I've been trying to do what I can to reach out to them, and there is... we have a lot of refugees from these countries now that we can reach out where we are until the Lord show us the name.
So in Norway, you don't need to go.
They came. Yeah, that's right. That's right.
We went to the sword in the Three Swords place, and we passed by three men sitting there, and they're speaking Arabic. So we went and talked to them. And if anybody has a burden to reach Muslims or the refugees here, they're looking for friendship. As you know, the Norwegian culture is not very, it's more individual, right? And in other cultures, you have a sense of community, and they want to be together, and they have, you know, an apartment block with all the different members of the family living in the whole house, and the cousins, and everybody's walking in and out. And they miss that. They come here, they feel isolated, they feel alone. So friendship is a very important starting place for reaching, whether it's refugees or Muslims in particular.
We are honored to have you here with us.
We are honored
to
share.
We've seen how you have served with the Dorcas Ministry. And they have been involved together with Joseph in seeing what we can do as a church, as I see, to start moving into an area of social justice. We went to a conference on modern slavery.
Right, right.
And refugees. I think it's good for us to be equipped as a church also on how we move and serve and
yes.
Be a blessing in this area. And so, guys, this is wonderful, yeah? And thank you for your time.
Thank you
and,
for giving us
give a big
opportunity.
Hand.
Thank you.
I would like to pray for you guys.
Yes.
Part of equipping the body of Christ so that we can give a big hand. I'm just going to sum up this whole thing in 3 minutes, two. Can you put the verse up there, Andrew? And just a short in line with what we've been talking about. Go on the next one. And here we see Paul in his standing before King Agrippa. I want to read to us from verse 8. After his encounter, he heard the word of the Lord, Jesus speaking to him, and said, "Now get up and stand on your feet. I have appeared to you to appoint you as a servant and as a witness of what you have seen and will see of me." So this is Jesus talking to Paul when Paul had that encounter with him. And then he said, "I am sending you to them." Said in verse 17, "I will rescue you from your own people and from the Gentiles. I am sending you to them to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light, and from the power of Satan to the power of God, so that they may receive forgiveness because of their sins and a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me." An incredible commission here, Paul, in verse chapter 26 of the book of Acts, verse 13 and 19. And we see, as he described to King Agrippa, the encounter he had with Jesus on his way to persecute others. Here we see a testimony of someone who bring terror into the body of Christ. And at the same time, on his way to continue his work, which he thought he was doing for God in bringing to persecution all those who believe in Jesus. They were called away. And then he suddenly met their God, Jesus Christ, on the road. And it's a wonderful, wonderful. As Paul stood here before King Agrippa, one thing that I'm reminded of, the life of Paul, in the midst of all the trouble and all the persecution that he went through, his focus on what God has commissioned him to do, he never wavered. So he stood there before King and he tell the story of how he met Jesus. And then he also explained to the king of the words of Jesus in his commissioning for him. And in that commissioning, God gave Paul his job description. He said, "I am sending you to the Gentiles and to the Jews." Why? To open their eyes. What else? To turn them from darkness to light. What else? To turn them from the power of Satan to the power of God. What else? He says, so that they may receive forgiveness of their sins. What else? And have a place among those who are sanctified by faith in me. And you see here the heart of Jesus as he gave his mandate to Paul. This is your job description. This is your calling. You are my witness, and this will be the content of your message. Amen. God has not only called the church to be nice to people. In that message is the heart of Jesus. Amen? That each and every one of us, just like Chris and Karenina, God has called us, just like Paul. He remained focused. Many times we have a lot of things around us. This whole week has been, this word been coming to my mind. Focus. Focus, Joely. Focus on my priority. What is my priority? Is my relationship with Jesus. My relationship with my family, my children, my wife, and those that I love. My relationship with those who are around me. And my relationship with God's heart towards those who needs to know him. So this week has, for me personally, as I begin to prepare this, God, focus, stay focused, Joely, on what I've called you to do. Stay focused on those people that I've called you to love. Stay focused on those people. What is your focus? There are many things that will distract us. There are many trials and tribulations that we are going through as a church. There are many challenges that will come our way. Paul remained firm. He remained stable. He remained consistent. But from the time that he had this encounter with Jesus, he stood, he never wavered. This is what he said to the king. So then, King Agrippa, after he shared his testimony, I was not disobedient to the vision from heaven. In Acts 23, verse 1 and 2, Paul say this to the religious leader. My brothers, I have fulfilled my duty in God, to God, in all good conscience until this day, today. So what is the encouragement for us? We stay focused. We prioritize the priority of God in our lives, in our family, and his mandate to us as a church to be a blessing to others. Amen? Let us pray.